Is Charlie Kirk helping us win the culture war, standing arm in arm with homosexuals? And let's talk about the mythological gay Christian. Stay with us as we look at these and other stories on the 5:11 News.
Now, there are two kinds of people in the world, only two kinds, not black and white, not rich and poor. There are those who are dead in sin, and there are those who are dead to sin.
After three nights of unbridled lawlessness across London, the contagion is spreading.
The problem is that God has already judged this. He has judged murder already. I don't need to question it. I don't need to ask and wonder what his plan is.
We're commanded as Christians not to participate in the works of darkness, but expose them.
Welcome back to the 5:11 News. I'm your host, Chad Davidson, and I am really, really excited about today's episode. One, because this is the first time in 3 days I've been out of bed. I've been a little under the weather, and praise God, I was just able, you know, by the grace of God to get up and do a little show for you guys. And I had something else planned for this week, but was working on this episode. But Pastor Joe on last Sunday's message decided to tell everybody what I was doing this Friday. So then I was forced to do it this Friday instead of next Friday. But I'm excited nonetheless to get this show out, get the information out. It's something I've been thinking about for a long time. But I also wanted to tell you guys a couple of things. First of all, we are going to have, I'm really, really excited about this, and literally, I'm not joking, maybe an hour before I got here, Tony had sent the text, and Joe got the approval, and we are having a launch party for our radio network, guys. We are having a launch party March 20th at Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley at 7 p.m., is that right, Tony? Oh, 6 p.m., that's right, Tony. But guys, the cool thing is while you say, hey, but I don't live in Simi or I'm nowhere near there, we are actually not just having a launch party for the radio network, which is going to be worldwide, but we are also going to be recording for the first time two live shows with Tony and with Joe on that Friday. Guys, I'm really excited because we're going to do a 5:11 News. It'll be the first time I interview Joe for a 5:11 News episode. I'm sure that'll be more as we go along with this, but that'll be the first time I'm interviewing Pastor Joe Schimmel on the 5:11 News. But then right after that, we're going to go back to back and we are going to do a Good Fight radio show live. And not only will you guys have that on podcast, not only will we have that on YouTube, but we are going to make that available on Facebook, everywhere, on Instagram even. We plan on making an Instagram live video as well for the event. So please, guys, check that out. We're going to be so, I'm excited for you guys to check out the radio network. I was just recently, and for you guys who follow Good Fight Ministries on Instagram, you guys got to see a little bit of the story as I was playing along the audio even from the radio network as we're beta testing and was putting together some of the studio as it's getting its finishing touches. Tony literally just ordered like the last like 50 things he had to order, but really, really excited, guys. So all the prayers, guys, that we've coveted from you guys, and we know you guys have prayed for us. I've had so many messages and texts and stuff on Facebook and Instagram just blessing us. You know, praise God for you guys letting us know that you're praying for us, for all the things, all the work that we've been doing, because I really do believe it's going to be a blessing. And for you guys who have been acquainted with this podcast show and the Good Fight Radio show over the last 8-9 months we've been doing it, or however long we've been doing it, Tony would know better than I. Guys, I know you know it's been great because we've been making Joe give more content out. And so it's been a real blessing. But I do have to get right into the message, as even though I've given probably my longest intro ever, but I have to get into this message because I have a number of clips to play, because this is a topic that I personally, it's a passion of mine, because I have a really big problem with people that compartmentalize their faith. I have a really big problem when people decide that their Christian faith, that they leave it, you know, so to speak, out in the mission field, some people do, like, oh, I can't, you know, I'm not going to witness out on the streets, but if I go on a mission, I'll go witness out there. Or even if they're inside their own home, they're too nervous to witness to their family or whatever it is. A lot of people, whether it's that, very interpersonal, or whether it's, oh, I don't live out my Christian walk at my work, I don't live out my Christian walk in my dating life, or in my political life. And that's something that I've found really bothersome, when people compartmentalize and they act as though Christianity is not a worldview. Okay. The thing is that if you are a believer in Christ, you should live that out synoptically. What I mean by that is that your Christian faith, your belief in who Jesus is, the resurrected King, his lordship in your life, the fact that he is your Lord, and the fact that he lives in your heart, and the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, and that you read his word, and you are sanctified by it, those are the very things that synoptically, whether it's literature, whether it's what you watch on TV, whether it's, you know, science, or whatever you're doing, everything should be lived through that lens. So that whatever it is, and if there was ever something that should be lived out, my belief is that politically, you have to be consistent. And this idea that we don't legislate morality, and that as soon as you start talking about, hey, these are the things that the Bible says are moral or immoral, these are the things that the Bible said is holy and upright, and these are the things which are profane. And when you say, well, but when it gets to politics, we're going to separate those things because we don't want a quote unquote theocracy. Okay. I don't believe in postmillennialism, or I don't believe in theonomy, right? I don't believe that ultimately we're going to have this theocratic system, and you know, we're going to put a bunch of believers, and then we're going to start being able to put people to death, and Christians are going to rule the world, and then Jesus will come back. I don't trust any of that, okay? But my support and the things that I trust and believe, I'm going to get those things from Scripture. And anytime something is a variant of what Scripture says, and something is something totally different than what God's Word declares, especially on lines of morality, I need to cry a foul every single time. Okay. And I was recently listening to a number of things from Charlie Kirk, and we're going to be talking about him at a little bit of length today. And let me just give you my background of how I've come to know Charlie Kirk. I remember seeing him on Sean Hannity a number of years ago, and he started Turning Point USA, which puts a lot of different graphics out. He does these little sit-downs and corrects a lot of people with, they may have misinformation on things. He's known now as a very big ardent Trump supporter. I know he was very anti-Trump at the very beginning when Trump was first coming out, but then eventually, you know, went more on his side. And specifically, I mean, he's really a big, big Trump fan now, and he is all over the internet. I mean, you see his stuff everywhere. I mean, he's infamous as well, obviously hated by liberals. They're not a big fan of his at all. And, you know, he's made a name for himself. And so for me, when I first heard about him, I thought, okay, this guy's got some really good stuff. I like some of his debating tactics with people on the streets and some of the things he would bring up, statistics that a lot of people didn't know. And a lot of times you find those really interesting. And I say, hey, that's good stuff. But then I started to notice that he had a lot of weird, quirky things that I thought, okay, some of this stuff just doesn't seem right. And then Young American Foundation, Young America's Foundation, if you guys don't know who they are, they put a lot of the events that bring about some of these big time speakers, conservative speakers, to colleges. A lot of those events that you've seen, you know, the Antifa people go crazy for, usually had to do with YAF, bringing like a Ben Shapiro or a Matt Walsh or something to come speak at their campus, and people went, you know, absolutely berserk. And they they're a foundation for young conservatives, and they actually completely said, I'm done with Charlie Kirk. I want nothing to do with this guy. And I'm going to put an article, because I don't have enough time to go through all the reasons, but I'm going to just slide through parts of the article, because they give a number of reasons. Number one, they said he fabricated the results to cover up a failed $2 million project. They said he's making blatantly false claims about TPUSA's reach. He boosting numbers with racists and Nazi sympathizers. Apparently, he had some people that said, quote, I hate black people, like blank them all. I hate blacks, end of story. And Clinton oversaw most of TPUSA's full-time staff members and campus recruiting. There's even footage of one guy who worked for TPUSA, Juan Pablo Andrade, that said the only thing that the Nazis didn't get right is that they didn't keep blanking going. And Andrade worked with TPUSA's Florida field director in 2015, led the group's informal Latino caucus in 2016. They got some weird diaper events. I mean, there's a number of things on here, unethical activity, stealing, I guess, taking from the Young Americans for Liberty, taking some of their membership that were private and stealing that information and not, ceasing doing that until they got an official cease and desist. They pretty much, like I said, we have a lot to go over on the subject, but the YAF has completely, they sent out a memo to all their members saying, hey, we disassociate with them. And typically when we have conservative movements, we don't disassociate, but with this kind of unethical activity, we have to get away from it. And something that I'm always careful of is that we don't, as Christians, want to tag ourselves along with people that, first of all, we don't really know, and they kind of come in and fly by night. I remember when Holly Fisher was the quote unquote making liberals' heads explode, and she, you know, had the gun outside of a Hobby Lobby, or drinking Chick-fil-A outside of a Hobby Lobby, holding her Bible with a gun outside of her house, and doing all these conservative movements, and then next thing you know, she is going around all these Tea Party things, and then is sleeping with Tea Party members and cheating on her husband in that way. So I'm always really careful when it comes to people that their main focus is typically just conservatism, especially when, hey, you're claiming to be a Christian. And that's what we want to focus on is today Charlie Kirk claims to be a believer, okay? And obviously those practices that YAF has called him out for, and the article is much more detailed, and you guys should check it out. Obviously those things should say, what's going on here? But then I also want to show how it's really interesting that the face of somewhat of the conservative ink movement, this face claims to be very Christian, but you're going to hear that a lot of his theology sounds very liberal. I think that's kind of interesting. In fact, in his support for Donald Trump, and this is before we even play any clips, he tweeted this out, and I always thought this was really, really strange. He tweeted this out, boom, this is a quote, by the way, quoting, boom, today Botswana decriminalized homosexuality. President Trump's global push to decriminalize homosexuality is achieving results across the world. Will CNN and MSNBC give his administration any credit for this monumental achievement? Yeah, guys, I don't know how much of a monumental achievement it is to decriminalize homosexuality. I get flabbergasted by some of the stuff that we see. And before we get into these next clips, I have to point out that Charlie Kirk was getting, this was something that happened a number of months ago. He was getting somewhat trolled by a number of, I would say, from the far, far right movement. I believe most of them were Catholic based. A lot of them had to do with a guy by the name of Nick Fuentes, who is obviously not a big fan of Israel. He said some pretty grotesque things concerning some of the, you know, jokes that he's made about equating Jews being burnt in during the Holocaust to cookies being cooked. And things have been pretty disgusting. And so some of the questionnaires that have gone out and spoken on these Q&As to Charlie Kirk. They were trolling him, but what's the sad thing is that when somebody comes up with a question, we need to be able to answer it regardless of who is asking the question. And I don't think Charlie Kirk or who he has with him, Rob Smith, who we will get into, did a very good job concerning the answers that they gave on these question. So, Tony, we're going to play that first clip, and I want to give a little backdrop. I'm not going to have the question read because the guy uses terminology that I don't want on our show, but he does ask a question regarding homosexual activity and how, and it's really interesting if you had the image, and this is why I'm really excited to have the studio ready, because this would be perfect for that, but right behind on this stage of Charlie Kirk next to Rob Smith, a practicing homosexual who we will talk about a lot more later, right behind them is a sign that says the culture war. And the entire event was about winning the culture war. So he is asked how homosexual activity helps win the culture war. And I'm going to play a small clip and then I'll give a little narrative because Rob Smith gives most of the answer here. But I want you to hear how Charlie may answer it at a later time. Play that clip for us, Tony.
I'm going to let the gay man answer.
Wait a minute. So can I ask you a question? Can you have the balls to ask the gay man on the stage that question and don't defer to him? Ask me that question. I will answer you that question. I'm going to answer that question. I'm going to ask you that question. This is America. This is the greatest freaking nation in the world. We realize that America is great because we have Western values. We realize that, let me finish, dude. We realize that gays and lesbians are able to contribute to American society in the same way that everybody else is. And let me tell you, when you continue doing that, okay, you realize that we are here. We are able to do everything. And let me tell you something as well. I served in the military, right? I served 5 years. I did an Iraq tour. What's up?
How does homosexual sex help us win the culture war?
Who said homosexual sex helps you win the culture war?
That is the question that I'm asking. Why are you promoting it?
Well, it's a BS question, and you know it is. It's a question that is not It's not a good faith question.
So, dude, it's not a good faith question. Rob, like, honestly, I don't care what two consenting adults do. So that's
the whole thing.
And your hyper focus on it is kinda weird. Thanks for
being here. You seem to be really interested in gay sex. I'm pretty sure if you're into that, you can go find somebody to do it.
What a racist question that was.
Now, I think that's really interesting because what happens there is it quickly turns into something you see online quite a bit. I would say that is one of the most common tactics when it comes to homosexuals, is that they will end the same way that Charlie and Rob Smith ended there. And that was maybe you care about this because you're a homosexual. And I find that to be somewhat disgusting, as so is homosexual practice. Actually, the Bible says it's unnatural. That's exactly right. And one of the things that happens when we decide this idea that we are going to separate the individual from society as a whole. And you're going to hear Charlie Kirk does this, okay? And he does this with all of Christian faith, in fact. And I think it's really, really interesting because, like I said, you didn't really get much of an answer from there. Rob kind of jumped all over the place. He was a veteran. I'm sure they were kind of taken off guard by the question. And I think they didn't give much of an answer. But here's Charlie when he's had a little time to prepare for this question. And bring it on up, Tony.
What does what they do in their private life concern you so much that you have to go up in front of a crowd?
And it is against God. That is
so
why.
Let me ask
Are you a
question.
Christian or not?
Do we live in a theocracy, yes or no? No, that's a... Do we live in a theocracy?
You said you're a Christian.
I am a Christian. And do you know what? And guess what? I will say this. Part of being a Christian is appropriately interpreting what the theological says for the individual, but also means to be long-suffering and patient and loving and kind. Jesus Christ talked to all people. Jesus Christ went and did his ministry through Judea and Samaria, and he had dinner with tax collectors, and he had dinner with prostitutes, and he did his ministry in every part of the Mediterranean. What it means to be a Christian, my friend, is to be open-minded but firm in your beliefs, so you can have that belief. But if you say there's something inherently wrong with communicating or associating just because they make different personal decisions than you, then you, sir, are not a conservative. Thanks for being here tonight.
Okay, so here is a lot of the weirdness in this answer, okay? First and foremost, this idea, and that's why I said it sounds really liberal, because it's something I hear all the time from liberals when it comes to this exact statement. When it comes to Charlie saying Jesus went to Samaria and Judea and sat with tax collectors, so forth. Guys, do you ever remember Jesus bringing the woman at the well here on stage and saying, we're going to win the culture war, even though this woman is sleeping with someone who is not her husband? Certainly, certainly not. And I'm going to tell you this. This is where I have a big, big problem, because we're calling out the culture war issue here. All right. And Charlie Kirk is bringing Rob Smith on stage not to share the gospel and be patient and be nice to him. Charlie Kirk is bringing him on stage as a puppet because he can say, hey, look, he's a conservative. Hey, look, Rob Smith, he's gay and he's a conservative and we have so much in common. But let me tell you, Rob Smith believes he is a Christian. So Charlie Kirk saying he's being loving while having Rob Smith next to him is the exact opposite of what the Bible tells me is loving. The Bible says that we are to love without hypocrisy and hate that which is evil. Okay? The fact is that Corinth, all right, in 1 Corinthians, Paul deals with that church, and I know it's a church setting, but I have to make parallels here, okay? It's a church setting, so he's disciplining them and telling them specifically how to discipline, get this sexually immoral person out of your church, okay? And the problem is, so while that is all true, and they do expel this evil one from you, okay? The principle I'm going to bring forth is what he puts forth in 1 Corinthians 5. In 1 Corinthians 5, Paul doesn't just mention inside of the church setting, but says not to, what's the word that Charlie used? Associate. Do you want to know why you don't associate with someone who says they're a Christian and is a practicing homosexual? Oh, yes, that's exactly what he says. By the way, Rob Smith, the man on the stage with Charlie Kirk, who sat up there talking about winning the culture war next to Charlie Kirk, came against Franklin Graham's tweet that said this: Mayor Buttigieg says he's a gay Christian. As a Christian, I believe the Bible, which defines homosexuality as sin, something to be repentant of, not something to be flaunted, praised, or politicized. The Bible says marriage is between a man and a woman, not two men and not two women. Rob Smith replied to that tweet saying, I'm a gay Christian. God loves me. He loves everyone. You are not God, so don't speak for him. Christ is love, and this is not a loving message. I can't believe you made me defend Pete Buttigieg. Okay? The problem with Charlie Kirk sitting up there and associating, not just associating, but propping up a homosexual quote-unquote Christian, is it is the most unloving thing to watch someone drink poison and do nothing to help them, okay? It is the same thing as sitting up there if Holly Fisher was up there with tea partiers talking about how we're going to win the culture, and yet she's sleeping with one of the guys there who's not her husband. Pointing these things out is what you must do, and if you live your life synoptically as a Christian, that means everything through the lenses of Scripture, no matter what it is, you cannot stand for this. And this is the sort of thing that is unloving to a guy like Rob Smith. Just because he's a quote-unquote, I don't know how you consider it conservative and gay, but quote-unquote conservative, and you're sitting up there saying, this is my friend, and I'll let him answer and make fun of the guy and call him gay for asking a question about why gay sex wins the culture war. Guys, this is why it's so important. And so I want to go through a clip of Rob Smith, because I want to tell you that this is the most unloving thing. And before I go through this clip, the reason why I have a problem with Charlie Kirk sitting up there and doing this, okay, is because I think all of his answers there were nonsense, Okay. Equating just simply saying that we will not win the culture by having homosexuality as a part of the culture, okay? Equating that with you're not really conservative if you're against that, I think is absolutely ridiculous. I think it's absolutely ridiculous. If the conservative party involves homosexuality, I'm not in the conservative party, okay? That's just a fact, all right? If the conservative party is just open to whatever someone wants to do individually, what about bestiality? Where do we end this thing, okay? What about abortion for the woman who says it's her body, okay? I mean, this is absolutely ridiculous. And I want to go over this video by Rob Smith about him being a Christian. But I want to say that in 1 Corinthians 5, the reason you don't sit with somebody and eat with somebody who claims to be a Christian and practices immorality, the reason why you don't do that is because you don't want to give them a false sense of security. And that is what Charlie is doing. And if you want to hear a false sense of security, we're going to go through the clip where Rob explains how he's a gay Christian. Why don't we play that, Tony?
Yo, there seems to be a lot of conversation on social media, the internet, and everywhere else about my relationship with God. You hear me? My relationship, not yours, not Jesse Lee Peterson's, not anybody else, mine. So let me be clear. There is nobody that is of this earth that can tell me that I cannot have a relationship with God. And for all of you fake, hateful, non-tolerant Christians out there talking about, oh, well, since he's gay, he can't, you know, be a real Christian, or he can't go to church, or he can't love God, or he can't be married, or he can't be this or that or that. Why are you so bothered by me? Why?
Yeah, here's the thing. I'm not bothered by you, Rob. I feel sorry for you because you're living a lie. And for anyone that was practicing any wickedness, the Bible is really clear in 1 John chapter 3, gives us the precise parameters for what a believer versus a non-believer looks like. Okay, the one who practices sin is of the devil, but the one who practices righteousness is righteous just as he is righteous. Okay, we get to see it's a practice of sin and to live in it. And Rob, I had the clip, but I honestly couldn't play it because it made me too uncomfortable, of you promoting a gay dating website with some other man about how everyone needs a cuddle bunny. And that stuff's disgusting to me, okay? And that stuff is disgusting to God because he is the one who proclaims it to be wicked. It's not that I need to focus on what your relationship is, but you have a reach of thousands and thousands and thousands of people, and you are claiming to people that you can practice wickedness and still enter the kingdom, and that's a lie and it's not biblical.
Are you so triggered by my relationship with God? The craziest thing about all of you haters is that you will be out here addicted to internet porn, fornicating, having sex before marriage, shacking up with people, getting abortions, like doing all of this crazy stuff, but yet you sit here in judgment of me.
Yeah, here's the thing, and we can stop at this clip and I'll finish up from here. Here's the thing. I want to talk about a couple of things from this clip, and I only have about 2.5 minutes left. This idea that you can have your own relationship with God and that you get to build this relationship with God that's different than the relationship that Jesus describes in his word, the relationship that is founded on the truth of God's word and the sanctification that happens by having his word in your heart, okay? The fact is that we can't have a relationship with God on our own terms. We come to relationship with God on his terms and what he has to say. Okay, I do find it interesting that he talks about grievous sin and then says you guys are having all these fornication and pornography and abortions. I'm sorry, for the people practicing those things, they're in the same lot in 1 John 3. They're in the same lot. They're children of the devil. Okay, they could be Matthew 7, 21 through 23. You could be the ones that Jesus never knew. He says, we did these things. We prophesied in your name. We did all this stuff. Oh, but you didn't follow the will of the Father. You didn't follow his commands. I never knew you. Okay, the fact is that if you are practicing adulterer, if you're a practice, I don't care what you are. 1 Corinthians 5, as we continue on that same line of thinking, 1 Corinthians 5 is really, really clear. I'm not going to associate with liars and thieves and adulterers and drunkards or any of those because I don't want to give them a false sense of security. I would never want Rob Smith to have a false sense of security that he thinks he can sin and still get to heaven this way. I would never want somebody to have a false sense of security to think they could be cheating on their wives ad nauseum and that they're still walking into Jesus' arms. Well done, good and faithful servant. No, you're unfaithful. Okay, you need to walk in the truth of God's word. And that doesn't go just for the homosexual. Okay, this could have been the mythological gay Christian, the mythological adulterer Christian, the mythological murderer Christian, because 1 John 3, specifically talking about hating, says what? That if you hate your brother, that you're a murderer, and no murderer has eternal life in them. So it doesn't matter what you're practicing. If you're a practicer of sin and you bathe in it and you love it, guess what? You're not a Christian and you're just a mythological character. You might as well be a married bachelor. This has been Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries, and this is 511 News.